I was not in Adelaide when the Scottish country dancing started up. I believe that was in the early 1950s, and I did not come to Adelaide until 1962. I heard about I started Scottish country dancing in 1975. A few months before that, I enrolled two of my daughters at Cremorne School of Highland Dancing, and where Heather Sayers was a teacher and still is. Now, on a Saturday morning, this Highland dancing class, all the kids came and danced, and all the mothers were there, and all the mothers came talking. And so one of the mothers was Carol Aitken, and her husband was Ian Aitken, the chief of the Port Adelaide Caledonian Society. And she asked me to come to one of the socials where there would be Canadian Scottish country dancers performing on one Saturday night. So off I went with my children, and it was a really, really lovely night, and I enjoyed watching the Scottish country dancers. After the evening finished, Carol came to me and said, "And how did you like the dancing?" I said, "I loved it. It was great." She said, "Well, we perform here, or dance here on a Monday night, and Harry McPhee is the teacher." She said, "Would you like to come?" And I said, "Yes, I would." So I was there that Monday night, and for years and years afterwards. Carol said to me after that first night, "I thought you said you didn't do Scottish country dancing." I said, "Well, I didn't." She said, "Well, it looks like you did." And I said, "Well, at school we did dancing, which I believe now is Kayleigh's dancing, though I didn't know that at the time. We did the likes of the Dash and White Sergeant and Walls Country Dance and Strip the Willow and probably some others I can't remember." And I said, "That's all I did." So she said, "Well, no, it was really good." Anyway, as I said, I went there for years and years. And I met Noriel Tarka. And Noriel at that time went to, as she still does, go to the winter schools interstate. And when she would come back, she would teach us what she had learnt, which I just absorbed. I loved it. And I also met, after a while, Jean Dodds. When she came back from America, she and Craig had been over there for some time, and so I met her. And later on, I met Jean Lumsden, still at Port Adelaide Caledonian Society. And Jean wanted to start up her own class, and she asked me to join, and she had about another seven friends, so we made up a set, and, you know, we started dancing. I then left Port Adelaide, not the social, but the dancing. And so then after a while, Jean wanted to go to Scotland and become a full certificated teacher. So she was going for 6 weeks and she asked me to take the class over, which I did. And again, I loved it and I loved the teaching. So when she came back, I was telling her that. And she said, "Well, why don't you become a teacher?" So we got it all started.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When Jean went off to Scotland.
Yes.
She said, "Why don't you take over the class for a while while I'm gone?"
Yeah.
How did that make you feel? What did you feel when she said that?
Well, she said I was the most experienced dancer, and I suppose I was a little bit nervous at the time, but I thought that was great. She trusted me, you see, to take her class. And, you know, I was really thrilled with that.
Here's a question. To take over a class, you have to know the dancing well, and you have to know, break the steps down, and understand them well. So how did you get on top of that?
Well, as you said, with the formations, there are usually eight formations, so I just broke down all the formations and would learn the dances, know what I was going to do, know the dances I was going to teach, get the music, and I just stuck to that. I didn't do anything different. That was my plan, and I think I still do that yet as well.
Did someone guide you into that method, or how did you get that method?
I think, well, I don't know. I think I just thought this out myself, what I had to do. I mean, all right, I had watched other teachers teaching, and I suppose, I don't know if I really learnt from them. Maybe from Jean, because I was mostly with Jean. And, but that is what I did. I had the plan. I decided what I was teaching, what dances I was going to do, and I even taught some steps. I remember running up to one girl who wasn't able to do her paddy basque, and I'm doing the paddy basque with her, you know, trying to. I don't think she liked it because she was singled out. But that's what I did, and I always had the music, you know, always just like in those times it was just on tapes. So I only just had one tape on, so I wasn't going through about half a dozen dances to reach the dance that I wanted.
Did you go through a learning process with the students of step practice like Jean used to do?
I don't think we were doing it at that time. Can't remember. We did all that when we did our preliminary training. We went through all the steps then and all the formations and learning the dances. We went through all of that then. And that the teacher at that time was Pat Savage. She put us all through, you know, the preliminary. And so all of us passed.
Where did that happen?
Well, it was in a school, but I don't know what school now. That was a long time ago. And we just had a hall in a school. And so I don't know how long we trained for, but finally we did the exam and we passed. All of us passed at that time.
Was that still in Scotland or here in Australia?
Oh, no. That's what I was going to say before, Stan. I had not heard of Scottish country dancing. I had not heard of it. Even though I was born in Scotland and came out here at 19, I had not heard of Scottish country dancing. I'd never seen it. And that was when I first started was 1975. And even when I put my two daughters to Highland Dancing School, I still had not heard of Scottish country dancing. I'd not heard of it until Carol Aitken said, why don't you come? And these Canadian dancers are coming. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I must have heard of Scottish country dance. I must have done, because it was not a surprise to me. And what I found strange was the men's pumps with all the strings around the ankles to tie it. Oh, that's a bit strange. I haven't seen that before.
Can you tell me what year you actually passed your final certificate?
Yeah, I passed it in 1991 under the guidance of Jean Lumsden.
Where did that take place?
Just at the Rose Park Scout Hall, where we dance on a Monday night.
How do you phrase this? You had to go to a school to learn to teach.
Yeah.
And I'd like to tell me again, if you can remember, where the school was.
When I was learning to become a teacher, yeah, at the Scout Hall in Rose Park where we dance. That was all done there.
Well,
yeah.
Who was your examiner?
Oh, someone that came from Scotland. I can't remember. I think they bring one from Scotland and one from Interstate, and you have the two of them.
Can you describe for me that day that it happened?
Well, we all go into a room. This is doing the exam. We're out of the Scout Hall by this time, and we've got the examiner, the piano player. And so we all go into a room, and one at a time gets called out. So what they do when they call you out, they tell you that they want you to teach a formation. And so you dance that formation and describe what you're doing. And then they ask you to dance. Now, we had to learn 12 dances, to do this prelim off by heart. There's no holding up the paper. And you did not know what dance they were going to ask you. And we had a set of dancers. We had fills in, you know, because people who were not learning to dance, but they filled in to make up a set of dancers. And so the examiners would just say to you, First Lady, I would like you to teach this dance. And so you just taught that. The full dance then, when you're doing your preliminary, you only two formations. But when you do your full certificate, you teach the full dance. And so out of those 12 dances, when you were doing your full certificate, you did not know what dances they were going to teach, ask you rather to teach. And so you're standing there waiting your turn to get taught to teach a dance. And so we all get a turn of doing that. Yeah, so it was pretty hard because it was 12 dances, and as you're learning them, they all fall into one. And then you have to try and separate them all, this dance and this dance. We learnt three at a time, that was it. And when we went the next week, you know, like I must have been to the Scout Hall, we had to know these three dances. And then the next time it would be another three, and then another three, and then another three, until we had all the dances in our head. So, yeah, that was pretty daunting, to say the least.
Kind of thinking that someone came from Scotland to...
I think it was Joanne McLean. I think it was Joanne McLean who came. But it was a man that came into state. Now, I don't remember who he was.
Now, that would cost money to bring someone over. How did all this happen?
Well, that came from the branch. They paid for it. I'm sure. I mean, I'm not 100%. But I would say most of the money would come from the branch, whether it was their airfares, and then someone here would put them up while they were here. That's about as much as I know, Stan, because I wasn't involved in that.
All right. That's fascinating. Oh, tell me just briefly while we're on the subject, once you got the verdict, tell me all your feelings after that point.
Well, I went down... Well, not... Yes, I think the... Oh, I'm just trying to remember now. Was it after we had finished all the dances, we were finished with the full certificate, and I went dancing that Saturday night with Jean through the Saturday night social, and I felt really good. I felt really good. I was doing my steps really well. And I wasn't teaching or anything, you know, I wasn't. It was just the usual Saturday night people like Arthur and others who were teaching. And, I felt really good. I felt really good. I felt I had passed. And then I got the certificate in the mail sometime later to say that I had passed. And that was good.
I think it's just a marvellous thing to... expect in the feeling afterwards when you devote so much effort to something...
It was over.
An accomplishment.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was. And you know, Stan, I said I was going to tell you this little thing. Years before that, and I'm trying to remember, I don't even know if I was doing Scottish country dancing, I'd even started at this time. I went to a lady who read Japan, and she was very, very well known and very, very good. And, you know, they'll look at your hands. And she said to me, "You are a very good teacher. You have a star here in your hand. And that's what it tells me," she said. Oh, wasn't that good?
It's a marvelous story. Do you believe in that?
Yeah. Yes, why not? Am I going to say, no, I don't believe that, I'm going to be an awful teacher?
Good for you.
Yeah, I always look for that star, but I think I've got a few more wrinkles now that it sort of covers the star.
That's a lovely story. Now, That's going back a long time. 60s.
Oh, yes, it was, it was. Yes, that must have been probably in the 1970s because I hadn't started dancing, so I didn't know what she meant and how I was going to be a very good teacher. Very good teacher in what? I just couldn't understand it at that time, but I never forgot it. I never forgot it. And I remember one of my daughters had a boyfriend who was a lecturer at one of the universities, and I happened to be telling him. So he gets his finger and says, see if he can find the star. Are you?
Unfortunately, I'm not a teacher. Anyway, by the by. What do you remember about May, the teacher?
What I remember about May Sinclair? Well, even while I was dancing at Port Adelaide, after a while, we started to go on a Tuesday night to the branch classes where May was teaching. And unfortunately, May was full of arthritis and she couldn't show you the step. Well, she can maybe just point the foot like this. She was very, very thorough, May, and she heard every sound in the class. If you were talking way up the back, she heard you, and she knew everybody's name, and she let everyone know that you were talking. I remember that. But she was a very good teacher, too. And also Pat Savage, the one who took me through the preliminary certificate. Pat was a scout master. And so she didn't come very often to the class. And May just about ran that class on her own at that time. There weren't that many teachers. That was the only teacher then, was May and Pat. And Harry McPhee at Port Adelaide. And Harry, I believe, had not done his full certificate. But his mother was a dancer. So whether the mother was a teacher, I've got a feeling that she might have been a teacher and she taught Harry. But he was good, he was great. And the class at that time, they sort of didn't want to learn any new dances. And they just wanted to dance the old dances over and over and over again. And even now, when a dance comes on that Harry had taught us all those years ago, look at Jean, Harry's dance. Yes, Harry's dance. Even Terry. Terry came dancing, my daughter came dancing too. And she remembers Harry and she remembers repeating old dances. And she said, yeah, remember that, Harry's dance, yeah. Because we did them over and over and over and over again.
Well, you should say that, but I'm a bit like that myself. I love the old dances.
Yes, yes.
And I love some favourites and I don't mind. I always get a little bit vexed when I have to learn a new dance.
Yes.
Well, there's so many I don't know, but I do love some of the old dances. Mm. And I'm quite happy just to go there and keep dancing them.
Yes, yeah, yeah, so do I love them. I love them. There's so many of them. Yeah. There's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dances. We could never do them all, never. So, and you'll find too, when we get a program, a ball program for overseas, and they do still the old dances and the dances that we teach here. But yes, it's amazing. I remember one Wednesday morning, you know Marjorie. Well, she was in Scotland. She had this friend who went to America. And a few years ago, she came to visit Marjorie, and Marjorie brought her to the class. And she did Scottish country dancing in America. And she was a lovely, lovely dancer. And so I announced that I was going to teach Sugar Candy. And she, oh, good, we do this one. We do this one in America. So she was really, really pleased.
So the old dances that get repeated by people who come here, it could be from any part of the world.
Oh, yes, they're dancing all over the world. They do this dancing. And it's all standard. It's all standard formations, and I mean, you could go to any foreign country, not understand the language, but you would know the dances. I mean, you couldn't understand the teacher, but what she was saying and the others were doing the formations, it's the same formation as we do here. So it's all standardised, and that's what the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society wanted it to be like. So you could go anywhere in the world and dance.
It's quite a brilliant thing, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yes, yeah.
Oh, I was also wondering, you said you went to Port Adelaide for a while and then you stopped going. Can you remember why?
Because of Jean. Because she said, come and dance with me. So I left. But I didn't leave the society. I still went on, you know, the socials, and up until a few years ago. I still go occasionally. I was a member of the Port Adelaide Caledonian Society for a long time too. But we go there, like we've been, Jean, and I go up there for when they have high tea. And they have that a couple of times in the year. But we sort of don't like driving up to Port Adelaide anymore. It's very hard to park outside there, very hard to park.
Tell me about high tea so I understand what you're talking about.
Well, they do it on an afternoon so that most people will come out, because a lot of the elderly people don't want to go out at night time anymore. So they put it on in the afternoon, and they set up these little tables of four all around the hall. And, you know, you pay to get in, but you don't have to bring anything. And the committee bring all the cakes and sandwiches and pies and sausage rolls. Oh, it's all lovely. And they come around with the tea. You've already got your cups and saucers on the table, and they bring out the milk and the sugar, and they bring the teapots and the coffee pot, and they go around all the tables pouring whatever you want. And usually that money goes somewhere, I don't know where, I don't know. Sometimes to Highland dancing. Yes, if they're going overseas, the Highland dancers are going overseas, that's where the money will go to.
Okay, so it seems to be like just a lovely little social get-together.
Oh, it is lovely. And usually you get the Port Adelaide Choir singing. Or sometimes we've had Jean Kelso. You've heard of Jean Kelso?
No,
you haven't. Well, Jean's a soprano, and they often get her because she is a lifetime member of Port Adelaide Caledonian Society, and at times they have her singing there too, which is beautiful, a wonderful voice.
I do remember her. I think she was at one of the Burns.
She was, yeah. Well, she was going to come this Thursday. We're having the same thing all day Thursday. Usually Jean would do it on a Saturday, Sunday, but it's on a Thursday. And Jean Kelso was to come, but she broke her leg. And so she can't come. Unfortunately. I've got a little CD of her singing. Very often I put it on, listen to it. It's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And also Jean Kelso is the great-grandmother of... See, Jem, my daughter over there, my granddaughter, who's the 21st birthday of her little child. So she and I, Jean and I, are great grandparents to this little Belle. Her name is Belle, her daughter. Yeah, so we're great grandparents. Yeah. So it's my granddaughter and Jean's grandson of this little Belle. Little girl, she's what, 15 months old or something like that. A year and 5 months old she is. And so we're the great grandparents of her. See, someone else I know in the society. And then another daughter is married to, like Terry, married to David Cunningham, whose father is dead now, Sam, but he had a beautiful tenor voice, and he sang so often at Port Adelaide Caledonian Society too. And he was a life member as well. Wow. So this is because of joining up with the Highland Dancing, sending the two children there, and then going into Port Adelaide and becoming a member. And my three daughters were single. But my youngest daughter didn't marry anyone from the society. She didn't. She married a soldier. And that didn't last very long. Telling you my life story.
Well, essentially, this is a big slice of your life.
It is. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, I don't know what I would do without the Scottish country dancing. I just don't know. Because if I'm not dancing, I'm learning what I'm going to teach at the next dance. Because I cannot stand reading from a paper, the dance from a paper. I just can't stand that. I just love to know the dance and teach it. Maybe one day will come where I'll have to read from the instructions, but at the moment I don't have to read from the instructions, which is good. So it's always in your mind. And I've cleared this little spot up for you today, Sam, but I had a lot of Scottish country dancing trays here. I better get rid of them. And when I was going through my in the other bedroom, I was going through looking for the date that I had passed my full certificate. It's a cabinet with three big office drawers, all full of Scottish country dancing. Full of them. So, I mean, that's what I said before. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dances. We'll never do them all. Never. They're just too many. And they keep bringing them out. So,
What does it mean to be a member of the branch?
Well, it's just somewhere where you belong, I suppose. And I get the real spiel. I get a Scottish Country Dancing magazine from the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society in Edinburgh. And, so it's good to be a member, but yes, it is somewhere you belong and somewhere where you want to belong because it's what you want. I'm not now a member of anything else, but I just love being a member of the society.
And it's a social commitment.
It's social dancing. I mean, you don't need a man. And we never have enough men anyway. And the men don't realise what they're missing, who don't come to Scottish country dancing. But it's really good. The women take part of the men. And at first, when we're dancing, the women don't. The women just want to stay as the woman. And it's a little while before they get adventurous and move over to the man's side. Because it can be disorientated, and sometimes it will confuse the person, and they might go back to being a woman part again before they go out to take the man's part. But, it's really good, and it's very, very social. And, of course, we have socials during the year, and we have the ball. We used to have Lily's ball as well, Lily Davidson from Elizabeth. We used to have balls. And, of course, that doesn't happen anymore. We just have the big one from the branch. And, and then there's other things that we go to during the year. It's very, very social, yeah. That is my, I wouldn't say it's my life completely, but it's a big part of my life. And I don't know what I would do without it. Mind you, at the moment, we're on holiday, and because it's the summertime, and we are getting a little six-week break. And it's nice to have that six-week break. You know, you have your leading the week up to Christmas, you have the New Year, so you're doing other things anyway. Well, you wouldn't be able to fit in the dancing. And so then you start to, as the 6 weeks goes on and on, and you start to look forward again to getting out dancing. But when I was dancing at the Port Adelaide, they had a big break. They broke up in November and didn't start back until May. Which that was about 6 months break. It was too much. And as the dancing got more and more popular and more people into dancing, they decided too that they would have to start back in February like all the other classes were doing. So,
this sounds like a university break. That's the kind of break we have.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And I think you need it. You need to, get your energy back up again. And then, of course, I have my birthday too while on the break as well. And, do plenty of things for that. I have three daughters and grandchildren. And, I spend, my time with them over my week or two of my birthday week. Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, you mentioned the branch ball. Where's it held?
Well, at the moment, it's being held, and for a few years now, at trying to think of the name of it. I don't know. It'll come to me later, I suppose, but I just can't think of it. It's in a nice big hall.
It used to be the Prospect.
That's it, Stan. Still there. Still there at Prospect Town Hall. Yes, yes.
It is a lovely hall.
It is a lovely hall, yes it is. And now we don't take supper like we used to. The committee decided that they would put on the supper rather than us going to a ball all dressed up to the nines and having to bring supper. So for a couple of years now, the committee brings the supper, which is really nice, very enjoyable and very relaxing. And there's a little bar there now that they never used to have before in dancing, that you can go and get an alcoholic drink. We couldn't get that before. Well, we always thought that we didn't need alcohol to let us have a good time dancing, but people still like, I mean, nobody gets drunk. We just have a little drink, you know, or two, something like that. It's the, no, I don't know if it's a committee, it's the people, the dancers themselves who go behind the bar. And yes, you have to pay for that. You get your orange juice and water and all that free, but you want an alcoholic drink, you naturally, because that's the day you have to pay for it. But I don't have it. I don't drink.
I don't either.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I've never found a use for it.
You like all your green veggies, though, don't you? Now, I've seen that when we go to the Walker's Arms at the end of the year or the middle of the year when we celebrate how many years we've been dancing at the Druids Hall. And it's great, all your plate is full of greens. And I'm like, Stan, lovely.
I look at the other food and I just think, well, I used to do that, but I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. I can't eat the plate of veggies. I don't mind a few little greens, but I do like the Walker's Arms, and get all your variety of food. Mm.
I know.
We're getting off the subject, Sam. Dan. Okay, I'm sliding. I am sliding.
Do you want some more
pills? No. I would still slide.
Okay. What future do you see in country dancing?
Well, I don't think it will ever stop. Although they say we're not getting enough young people there, and it's all and we're all getting older and older. Well, I just hope it keeps on. I just hope it does, because it is wonderful. It's a wonderful exercise. It's great for your memory, and it's great for your body. And you know, it's just getting the young people in. And I know the branch have tried to get different people coming in, younger people, but they're just not interested. They are when they get older. And usually when their children have grown up, you know, where they don't have to stay home with the children in the evening, and they'll come out. But we still get people coming in. We still do. So,
I think of it sometimes a bit like ballroom dancing and some of the other traditional dances that have come in and stayed apparently for a generation or more, but they slowly fade away. Like, you don't get these ballroom dances that we're used to anymore.
I don't think so, no.
And straight after our class, it's a ballroom class.
Yes, yeah, and they're dancing there in the morning as well. They're dancing, well, usually one couple when we go into the Druids Hall on a Wednesday morning. You'll get one couple, and Andrew, you know, who owns the hall, he's in there teaching them. And then they just go into the next room. And there are not many, but a few people come in. But as you said, it's when we're leaving that they come in into the big hall that we use, and they come in then, and there's a lot more people dancing. Actually, one of our dancers, Angie, She goes ballroom dancing there, but not on that afternoon. Must be some another time that she goes. But yeah, she does the ballroom dancing there too.
So I think it's a problem with all traditional historic type dancers. They have their moment and they don't seem to die away, but the popularity just slowly reduces. People don't do the minuet anymore.
No, that's right.
And when I think of country dancing, I think of dancing of that type where in many cases, it's a gentle kind of dance. And one thing that makes it different from most other dances is the formations.
Oh, yes. In the Scottish country dancing, we have the technique, which is your steps. Now, we are the only country dancers in the world who has that technique. No other country dancers do it. You know how we do the paddy basque, and we do skip, change of step, and we do the travelling step and the strathspey. No other country dances do that. It's only us. So it's unique to Scotland. And that's what I tell the new people who come to the Wednesday morning class, that it is unique to Scotland.
And that's what something that's unique about country dancing in general is this, the standard of dancing. It's not just technique, but the formations make it a brain exercise. And that would stimulate some people to enjoy that kind of dancing. It taxes your brain a bit.
Oh, it does. And that's just wonderful. It is.
I remember when I watch good dancing, especially the demos that you go out and watch, you wish you'd have a bird's view of it.
Oh, yeah.
You could see the various patterns
coming
and going and changing.
Yes, it would be lovely. Yes, yeah.
That's the one thing.
You need to get a camera stand up on the ceiling and looking down. I can imagine what that would cost you. A little fortune.
It's worth doing.
It's a thought, isn't it?
It is. That's one of the things I like about it, the formations.
Yes. My dad and my brothers and sisters, and we went to Geelong. And I'm the only one who has left and come into state. All the others are still over there. Now, a few years ago, 2002 or thereabouts, I went at the time that they put on the Geelong Highland Games. So I went with the family there, and of course Scottish country dancing. It went on all day. And so we're up on the top of this in Queen's Park, we're up on the top of the hill, and I said, oh look, I'm getting out to watch the Scottish country dancing. So I went down, and they're dancing, and I'm watching, and there was this one lady, and I thought, I know her. Who is she? And after racking my brains and watching her dancing, I know you. Anyway, the dancing stopped, and she had got IME as well. So she came off and she said, hey, Mary. And I said, hi, Carol. It was Carol Aiken. And we hugged and, you know. And it was her, really, who got me into Scottish country dancing. She's a teacher now. They moved away some years afterwards, and I think they're in Sydney, and she is now a teacher too, but she wasn't at the time that she said to me to come up to Port Adelaide. And it was great seeing her. And then Ian came, her husband, and at that time, yes, I had three cousins over from Scotland, and they came as well, because they'd come to watch me dance, you know. Oh yeah, because I get up and danced as well, and I didn't have my shoes with me. And Carol said, oh, it doesn't matter where I go, I always take my shoes with me. Always. I borrowed somebody's horrible pair of shoes today. Yeah, so they got to meet Carol and Ian, and, you know, it was just a wonderful afternoon.
Can you remember what year that was?
Yes, I do, because I remember when they came out, 2002. Yeah, because I bought something when I calculated when I was out shopping with them, and I had written on it 2002. So I'd know when I bought the calculator, and that's how I know when it was 2002 they came out here. Yeah, three of them. I hadn't seen them in all those years since I left in 1955. hadn't seen him in all the, and it was like, you know, that time had not passed. It was incredible, and for them as well. You know, it was just wonderful. One of the ones I didn't know, I knew very well the cousin who was 2 years younger than me, and one who was about 4 years younger than me, that she had grown up, but there was an Isabel who had only been little, and I didn't remember her at all. But for the other two, it was just like, you know, it was like yesterday I'd seen them. It was just wonderful. But I've never been back. I never went back at all. My sister Margaret, she had gone over there in 2000, and year 2000, and she tried to get in touch with these cousins, and she got in touch with them when she was in London, ready to come back to Australia. So she never met them, and so after 2 years they came out here, just for whatever it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I've never been back. I don't want to go back. Doesn't worry me.